Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, Text 32. Yavan aham yata bhavo yad rupa guna karmakaha tataiva tatra vijnana astu te madanugrahat yavanaham yata bhavo yad rupa guna karmakaha tataiva tatra vijnana astute madanugrahat yavanaham yata bhavo yad rupa guna karmakaha tataiva tatva vijnanam astute madanugrahat yavanaham yata bhavo yad rupa guna karmakaha tataiva tatva vijnanam astute madanugrahat Paguna Karmaka Tatatatatatatatam Sute Madanugraha. Vaishnavis Vanaham Yata Bhavo Tatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatat Jalam. Jalam. Tamalavavo. Jalam. Yavan, as I am in eternal form, aham, myself, yata, as much as, bhavaha, transcendental existence, yet, those, rupa, various forms and colors, guna, qualities, karmakaha, activities, tata, so-and-so, eva, certainly, tattva vijnanam, factual realization, astu, let it be, te, under you, mat, my, anugrahat, by causeless mercy. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Jai. Translation. All of me, namely my actual eternal form and my transcendental existence, color, qualities, and activities, let all be awakened within you by factual realization out of my causeless mercy. Purport. The secret of success in understanding the intricacies of knowledge of the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, is the causeless mercy of the Lord. Even in the material world, the father of many sons discloses the secret of his position to the pet sons. The father discloses the confidence unto the son whom he thinks is worthy. An important man in the social order can be known by his mercy only. Similarly, one must be very dear to the Lord in order to know the Lord. The Lord is unlimited. No one can know him completely. But one's advancement in the transcendental loving service of the Lord can make one eligible to know the Lord. Here we can see that the Lord is sufficiently pleased with Brahmaji, and therefore he offers his causeless mercy to him, so that Brahmaji may have the factual realization of the Lord by his mercy only. In the Vedas also it is said that a person cannot know the absolute truth, personality of Godhead, simply by dint of mundane education or intellectual gymnastics. One can know the supreme truth if one has unflinching faith in the bona fide spiritual master as well as in the Lord. Such a faithful person, even though illiterate in the mundane sense, can know the Lord automatically by the mercy of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita also, it is said that the Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to everyone, and he keeps himself concealed from the faithless by his Maya potency. To the faithful, the Lord reveals himself in his form, quality, and pastimes. The Lord is not formless, as wrongly conceived by the impersonalist, but his form is not like that one that we have experienced. The Lord discloses his form, even to the extent of measurement, to his pure devotees, and that is the meaning of Yavan, as explained by Srila Jiva Goswami, the greatest scholar of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Lord discloses the transcendental nature of his existence. The mundane wranglers who make mundane conceptions of the form of the Lord, It is said in the revealed scriptures that the Lord has no mundane form. Therefore, persons with a poor fund of knowledge conclude that he must be formless. They cannot distinguish between the mundane form and the spiritual form. According to them, without a mundane form, one must be formless. This conclusion is also mundane, because formlessness is the opposite conception of form. Negation of the mundane conception does not establish a transcendental fact. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord has a transcendental form and that he can utilize any one of his senses for any purpose. For example, he can eat with his eyes and he can see with his leg. In the mundane conception of form, one cannot eat with one's eyes or see with his leg. That is the difference between the mundane body and the spiritual body of Sat-Chit-Ananda. A spiritual body is not formless. It is a different type of body of which we cannot conceive with our present mundane senses. Formless, therefore, means devoid of mundane form, or possessing a spiritual body of which the non-devotee can have no conception by the speculative method. The Lord discloses to the devotee his unlimited varieties of transcendental bodies, all identical with one another, with different kinds of bodily features. Some of the transcendental bodies of the Lord are blackish, and some of them are whitish, some of them are reddish, and some are yellowish. Some of them are four-handed, and some of them two-handed. Some of them are like the fish, and some are like the lion. All these different transcendental bodies of the Lord, without any differential category, are disclosed to the devotees of the Lord by the mercy of the Lord. And thus, the impersonalist false arguments claiming the formlessness of the Supreme Truth do not appeal to a devotee of the Lord, even though such a devotee may not be very advanced in devotional service. The Lord has unlimited numbers of transcendental qualities, and one of them is his affection for his unalloyed devotee. In the history of the mundane world, we can appreciate his transcendental qualities. The Lord incarnates himself for the protection of his devotees and for the annihilation of the faithless. His activities are in relationship with his devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of such activities of the Lord in relation with his devotees, and the non-devotees have no knowledge of such pastimes. The Lord lifted the Govardhan Hill when he was only 7 years old and protected his pure devotees at Vrindavan from the wrath of Indra, who was overflooding the place with rain. Now this lifting of Govardhan Hill by a 7-year-old boy may be unbelievable for the faithless, but for the devotees it is absolutely believable. The devotee believes in the almighty potency of the Lord, while the faithless say that the Lord is almighty, but do not believe it. Such men with a poor fund of knowledge do not know that the Lord is the Lord eternally, and that one cannot become the Lord by meditation for millions of years, or by mental speculation for billions of years. The impersonal interpretation of the mundane wranglers is completely refuted in this verse, because it is clearly stated here that the Supreme Lord has his qualities, form, pastimes, and everything that a person has. All these descriptions of the transcendental nature of the personality of Godhead are factual realizations by the devotee of the Lord, and by the causeless mercy of the Lord, they are revealed to his pure devotee and to no one else. Wow. We got through it. So nice to be back in New Dwarka. Get a chance to say that after being grounded for 2 years. I'm back on the road. So, and in this verse, and the purport, we learn that Krishna doesn't reveal himself to everyone. You know, real information about the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he really exists is quite confidential. You know, these days, everybody has a public profile. You go on the net, you type in their name, you Google them, then everything comes up. But some people, like among my correspondents, a lot of people write me letters. And, you know, I correspond with them. And some of them I Google, let's see who this person is. But some of them have absolutely no presence on the web. You can't find out anything about them. You know, there's some people like that. They like to keep their life private. They don't like to take a selfie and, you know, blast out everything they're doing, every meal they eat, every place they go, every person they meet, you know, on the worldwide web. Some people apparently don't like that, and they keep themselves off of it somehow. I don't know how they do it, but Krishna is also something like that. In the one sense, Krishna is advertised everywhere, but in another sense, you know, Krishna keeps his personal life, you could say, quite confidential. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada mentions that practically every word that Srila Prabhupada says is a recitation of some Bhagavatam verse or Bhagavad Gita verse, you know, going through that purport, you know, it's just kind of noting how that's a fact. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Naham Prakasa Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samavritaha. I don't reveal myself as I really am to everyone. I'm covered by my yoga maya potency. You know, just like, you know, some famous people, yes, you know something about them, but about their personal, intimate, confidential dealings, nothing. So Krishna's kind of like that. He's, in one sense, he's known, but in another sense, not. And to know him factually as he is requires his permission, his mercy. And he says, I can't be known by your scholarship, by your prowess, intellectual or otherwise. Tarko prachishtat shrutayo vibhinam nasavrishu yasya matirna binam dharmasya tatvam nitam guhayam mahajano yena gatasa panta. Krishna says, you can't know me by your logic and arguments. You can't even know me by searching through the scriptures, because different scriptures say apparently contradictory things. And even you consult the wise men, the rishis. You can't be a rishi, it said in that verse, without having an opinion different from the other rishis. So, how can Krishna be known. So that's confidential. That kind of knowledge is hidden within the heart of the Mahajan, his pure devotee. Like our Mahajan is Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya. So he knows. Like once Srila Prabhupada was playing a little game with Saraswati, who was daughter of Malati and Shyamasundar. You know, they were early disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and they had a child, daughter Saraswati, who Srila Prabhupada had developed a very interesting spiritual relationship. You know, he showed her like a little deity of Krishna, and then he kind of took it, kind of hid it. Says, so Saraswati was looking for the deity. So where is the deity? Where's Krishna? Where's Krishna? Said, oh, Prabhupada has Krishna. So it's, you know, we pray every morning, Yasya Prasada, Bhagavad Prasada, that without the mercy of the spiritual master, one doesn't get the mercy of Krishna. Or, you know, as we were learning a day or two ago on Radhashtami, you can't get to Krishna without going through Radharani. Yeah, because Krishna is a little self-contained. You know, he's not opening himself to everyone, but Radha, being the compassionate pleasure potency, compassionate side of Krishna's energies, by her mercy, one can get the mercy of Krishna. So, therefore, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktiya mam abhijananti yavan yaschasmi tatvataha tato mam tatvato gyatva vichite tadanantaram. Only by devotional service can I be known. And devotional service cannot be carried out by oneself. There must be Krishna's representative whom one has to please in devotional service. So, and then Krishna will be pleased and then reveal himself and accept, you know, the aspiring devotee into his nitya lila, his eternal pastimes. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned in his purport, he said, and this happens for the devotee who has perfect faith in the spiritual master, perfect faith in Krishna. As I said, you know, almost everything Prabhupada says in that purport is a restating of some verse. Like that particular statement is a representation of Yasya Deve Para Bhaktir Yata Deve Tatau Guru. Tasyaiti katatahyata prakashanti mahatmanaha. So that means one has to have faith in Krishna and faith in the Guru, both. And then Krishna automatically reveals the truth when, you know, sees that kind of faith in the aspiring devotee. So I'm trying to develop such faith in Srila Prabhupada, such faith in Krishna. And you know, Krishna says, Ye yata mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajami aham. As they surrender unto me. I reward them accordingly. So, according to my degree of surrender, which is a little bit but not very great, you know, I get some realizations of the transcendental qualities of Lord Krishna, you know, some tiny little bit. Like when the, you know, sometimes people ask, you know, if you're preaching, yes, you say you can realize Krishna, but how much have you realized? And I generally explain it's sort of like the when it's completely dark at night and the dawn is just beginning, you know, the sky becomes a little bit gray, you know, a little bit light, and you can make out a few things. You know, you can see your hand in front of your face and you know, some details of the buildings and the trees or whatever, streets, but still a little bit hazy. You know, so I say I'm kind of at that stage. I know something's happening here. It's real, but the complete manifestation of it hasn't taken place yet. So I'll stop there. Any comments? Oh, I guess a microphone is coming.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class. I was just wondering, does anyone have any idea where is Sarasvati and what she's doing? Where is Sarasvati? Sarasvati, the little girl. Does anyone know what she's doing, where she is, what's going on?
Do with, I didn't catch that.
I'm asking, does anyone here know where is that little girl Sarasvati and what she's doing now? She had such association with Srila Prabhupada. I'm just wondering where she is now.
I still didn't understand it. Sarasvati. What's become of Sarasvati? Anyone know? Okay. Oh. Kriyashakti.
Could you tell us about your latest preaching adventure?
The San Diego Temple devotees invited me to come last Thursday to speak to their Krishna Lounge group. You know, it's a nice group of about 30 or 40, mostly young people that come to their Krishna Lounge. It was held on a patio. So I gave a talk about my service, and then I spoke at their Sunday feast, at their Radhastami festival, and the Bhagavatam classes. So it was an internal kind of event. And later on this year, I'll be going to some conferences and other things that are more outer-directed, you could say, you know, related to science and Krishna consciousness. So
you have an upcoming something in Arizona, did I see?
I respond to invitations. I don't invite myself anywhere. But if devotees are interested, I kind of like it to come from them because it shows they're interested, you know, rather than, you know, doing something, hosting somebody they may not really like to be there. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Glories to Srila Prabhupada.